Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Progressives! I don't think you really understood what took place a couple weeks ago. I don't think you really understood all that took place a couple weeks ago. What you see that has happened with the loss of Hillary, the fact that you didn't get any of the Senate, the fact that you're still not part of the House leadership, that you're not the leaders there. They're the leaders in the clubhouse, the Republicans. They're the leaders in the Senate. They're the leaders in the White House. What you haven't actually learned is you caused a good portion of this. You caused a huge portion of this. You did. You did by first and foremost, making everything about politics, identity politics, gender politics, you know, I mean, sex politics, whatever it is, you've made everything about politics. You've politically corrected everybody that you possibly can. And you have built up essentially animosity amongst everybody else in this country who doesn't think like you. So much so that what happens in a lot of things in life, people push back. People push back. And that's what happened. That's why the likes of Donald Trump was so refreshing to a lot of people. He wasn't a politician. He spoke his mind. He said some things that probably a lot of people were feeling, but would never say. He did some stuff that basically, had it been any other politician, boom, he would have been done. We were waiting, right? How many of us were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for him to blow himself up and to be out of here? He even went on air one day, on TV one day, and said, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Manhattan and I won't lose anybody. He was right. It wasn't because it was Trump. But there's cause and effect. The causes of the progressives, the pushing, the whining, the damning everybody who doesn't groupthink like them, the fact that they have tried to, in so many ways, turn everything to the government, make everything about politics, make us really a nanny state. You want open borders? Well, I want a border that's real. I want a border that we can count on. We can sympathize and empathize with people, but I want to... Oh, you're a racist, Chad. Oh, okay. Little things like that. Over time, it came back and bit them in the ass. They created this. They did. Absolutely 110%. They were the cause of this. Donald Trump is just the mouthpiece for what a lot of people feel. A lot of people are sick and tired of being called racist. A lot of people are sick and tired of being called misogynistic. A lot of people are sick and tired of being called angry white people. A lot of people are sick and tired of being called whatever you're going to throw at them, because the easiest thing for you to do is to lob a name rather than to come at them with facts. And that was the other thing. That was the big issue here. They brought facts. You brought feelings. Truth is truth. Facts are facts. People were upset. People were pissed. People see a stagnant economy. Yes, you brought in 10, 12, 14 million jobs, whatever it's going to end up being by the time he leaves, but those weren't the kind of jobs that people needed. People are over being overregulated. People were sick and tired of seeing a stagnant economy, which saw their paycheck stay the same while everything else got more expensive, essentially going backwards. People were sick of struggling. People weren't buying it all anymore. You created it, cause and effect. Cause, you, screaming, yelling, whining, now wearing a safety pin or whatever it is they're wearing. I mean, that right there shows you what it's about. That shows you what it's about. If you're pissed, if you're angry, fix the problem. putting a safety pin on, going outside with a sign, screaming and yelling is not fixing the problem. Cause and effect. You caused this. You did. You came at it with feelings and not facts. You wanted to demonize. You never wanted to hear another side of any kind of argument. You never thought maybe that other people also had feelings, but they went with the facts. And this is what you get. You get somebody who is unabashedly wide open with zero filter. You get somebody who scares you because you've pushed so many people to it. You have. And that's what makes me laugh. The truth is, you want to know what this is about? Yes, it's about Obama's politics, but that's your politics. Yes, it's about a lot of the stuff that he put in there. But it's also about the fact that you want to know why people were energized? The same reason people were energized about Bernie is because he was different, even though in many ways he was the same. He'd been there for 30 years. But he was new. He was loud. He was unashamed and unabashedly Trump. He wasn't afraid of what you thought of him. And that's what you've used to police everybody, their thought patterns. You've scared them into doing things. You've not changed minds. You've just shut them up by scaring them. Then all of a sudden, Trump came along and he had no filter. He said what he wanted to say. He was loud about it and nothing happened to him. So everybody else goes, well, it's not going to happen to him. It shouldn't happen to me. You created the monster. You're not picking that up. You created this monster. So when I see you out there picketing and screaming, when I see you out there crying, when I see you out there doing stuff that in truth has absolutely nothing to do with fixing a problem, it only makes you feel bad. When I see you out there doing those things, I laugh. Because you're missing the entire point. You caused a decent amount of this. You wanted social justice. You want unlimited government. You want all of these things. And you've painted yourself into a corner where, guess what? Government is the only answer you have. And theories inside of books are the only thing you know. Along with your feelings. You've caused so much of this stuff. And as I've talked to progressives all over the place, I laugh. Because they're angry. They're like a child who doesn't have the words to talk about how angry he or she is. So now it's, let's wear a safety pin. Because that'll show everybody how pissed off we are. No, how about this? Figure out why we lost. What is it about Trump and what happened, why did we lose? Because that's what people who fail do. They go back to a drawing board and they go, that didn't work, but we learned something. What did we learn? Political correctness, when over politically correct, pisses people off. Theories outside of a book don't seem to really work. People are upset because they're not working. How do we fix these things? Oh, we should regulate them more? We should crack down on political correctness? We should turn more to the government? No. Figure it out. I got an idea. Safety pins. Everybody put a safety pin on. We figured it out. You put a safety pin on, we're totally fine now. You created this, the cause and effect. You caused half of this country to get so pissed off. Because for the last several years, you have demonized them. You've told them that they are the problem with America. You've told them that they are completely wrong. You've told them they are stupid. You've told them they're uneducated. You've told them that they're racist, they're homophobic, they're misogynistic. You've told them that their religion is stupid. You caused this. The effect was they pushed back. The effect was they said, we're not stupid. The effect was they said, we're American as you are. The effect was they said, we vote. The effect was they got him into the White House. cause and effect. So your choices are figure out what you did wrong and correct it, and then in 2 years, move forward, and then in 4 years, try again. Or pick it, flip him off, boo them every time you see them, say horrible things about them, demonize everybody else, tell everybody else how stupid you are, I mean they are, and wear a safety pin, and find out in 2 and 4 years where you think you'll be again. Because the thought process is pretty simple. People are going to get tired of you, even amongst your own group. And that group will start to dwindle. So if you think the numbers are always going to be there, you may be surprised. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chadatchadbensonshow.com. You can always text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Every day at this hour, we do, so what's next? Today, what's next for the media? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Texter writes in, spot on about the safety pin segment. Thank you so much. You're just listening. I'm tearing off the progressive left for being so angry they decided to wear a safety pin. If you see people's safety pins, just realize they're wearing that in anger of Donald Trump because he's hashtag not my president. By the way, this president, Obama, is my president because I'm an adult. And I respect the office and I respect him for who he is. Donald Trump will be my president, and I will respect the office and who he is. Doesn't mean I can't criticize. Doesn't mean I won't credit. But I'm an adult, and that's what I do. I don't get trophies for participation. I get a paycheck for working and working hard. Every day at this hour, we do a thing called What's Next? So what's next? Today, it's the media. What's next for the media? Who, by the way, the funny thing is, the media is apoplectic in the way that things went. They're angry. They're pissed. They're left-leaning. It's not just the Huffington Post and the Daily Kos and all these Kos, whatever it is. It's not just them. I mean, the average media is left-leaning. You know, you wouldn't have known this, but the likes of, you know, I mean, many, you know, Cronkite and many of these other ones, they were left-leaning. You just never knew it because they were unbiased. They were professionals at what they did. They reported the news in a way that was, I'm going to give you the news, you decide. I may have my own thoughts, but I'll keep those to myself. It's not like that anymore. We know that. But the media across the board was angry, pissed, confused. People look at the media now with very little trust. They look at the media like they look at Congress. Not very well. So what's next for the media? Well, first, can I just say this? Media, you should be stoked. Regardless of your political leanings, the truth is, it's about numbers. It's about clicks. It's about watching videos. It's about likes. It's about click-throughs. It's about reading articles. It's about eyes on the prize. The more they watch, the higher the ratings, the higher the ratings, the more money you get paid. It's the way it is. The media should be stoked because they have somebody who's in the White House who, let's be real, is always going to give you a story. You ask any person who covers sports, who do they like covering, Bill Belichick or Rob Ryan? Rob Ryan's the coach of the Buffalo Bills. Bill Belichick's the coach of the Patriots. Bill Belichick talks like this. Everything's about blah, blah, blah. That's it. Rob Ryan will say anything. Rob and Rex Ryan will say and do anything. They're loud. They're boisterous. They say stuff that nobody else will say. They love. That's what you want. Kanye is more fun to follow than Bob Dylan. Donald Trump is a goldmine. For right-leaning radio, they're going to struggle. Because you're going to spend the next 4 years having to defend a lot of stuff for the hardcore right-leaning people in radio. But for media, for the CNNs, the ABCs, the CBSs, the Foxes, the NBCs, all, they have a gold mine. So what's next for media is sit back. First of all, you loved every ounce of what he gave you through this. Your numbers were massive. Hell, your debate numbers were massive. Now that football has its playground to itself, its numbers are back up. Just goes to show you the power of Trump and the politics that it was actually keeping the numbers down. This is huge. What's next for you is, let's hope he does what he does. First of all, I hope he governs the country in the best interest of all of us. Secondly, I hope he's just Donald Trump. Nobody else. I want him to be him. I want him to be interesting. I want him to be loud. I want him to be funny. I want him to be transparent. I want him to let us in. What's next for the media is you've got a great chance now to follow somebody who is like nobody you've ever followed. Here's the catch. He doesn't like you much. Not a fan of you. Doesn't like the sarcasm from the likes of Saturday Night Live. Doesn't like the way that people treat him and his family at times. Doesn't care much for the media because he feels he gets a raw deal no matter what he does. Some of that's true. A lot of what he's done, he's brought on himself, but not all of it. So what's next is you're going to have a contentious 4 years dealing with this guy. But it could be 4 years of lots of fun. It could be 4 years of lots of craziness. It could be 4 years of things that we didn't get from the last 100 quadrillion days that we've had presidents in office. For 44 presidents, we have got parts of stories. For the first time, we may get a whole story. So what's next for you, media? Sit back, relax, cover the story, and count the number of people that are clicking, liking, watching, and following. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423. I love it. It's a Monday. Thanksgiving week. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Ah, man, we are doing so much stuff today. We are chock-a-block full of stuff. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Text as well, 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, Chad, thank you and God bless you. You just spoke for so many of us. We're sick and tired of being vilified. Thank you so much. If you ever make it to Indy, come have a steak dinner. Maybe I will. Maybe I just will. Speaking of Indy, Brian wants to talk about Trump and jobs. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Chad, how are you?
I'm doing good. What's happening, brother?
Hey, listen. I'm working. Hey, listen. My wife is a staunch Democrat, middle-aged white woman, and she voted for Trump in the primary and in the presidential election. Of course, he won by 23 points here in Indiana. But here's the conversation we were having today about Trump and moving forward. Say, the first 2 years, of course, he got control of the House and the Senate. Let's say Trump creates jobs for these millennials that have these high pay or high student debt loans. They get a job making $55,000 a year. They're able to pay their student loans. They're able to buy a house. They're able to be productive citizens. Okay. Number two, let's say Trump lets these corporations bring this money that's overseas back into the country and creates even more jobs. We got 90 million people out of work. Say 45 million of them find living wage paying jobs. Okay. Number three, let's say Trump reduces restrictions on businesses to create more jobs. And on down the line, what if he holds the line on the debt? It doesn't go up anymore. That's a big killer for us, man. We don't want to pass that along to the millennials. So what if all these things fall in place? What do you think that the millennials are going to have to say if all this comes to pass, and this is just speculation on our part, but this is the conversation I have with my wife today, and she's mad. She's a big supporter of the LGBT community,
yeah.
and she is mad because she voted for Trump, and now they want to group her in to being a racist and all that.
Well, you know, Brian, let me tell you something, and I love when you call him a man. Appreciate that. First and foremost, understand that it's a feeling side of things. They go on reaction of feelings, right? All of us have had emotions in our life. We all let emotions at times overrun us. Everybody, whether it be with a loved one, whether it be with a family member, a friend, a coworker, an employee, a customer, a football team, a baseball team, we've all got emotions. We let it run. Their emotions aren't dealing with job place. Because remember, to them, careers, they're worried about the debt. They're not worried about careers. They want a decent job so they can pay stuff off, but they want flexibility. They want things their ways. They want to be able to do the kind of things in life that they want to do. They're not so much worried about whether or not they get a $70,000 a year job or $50,000 a year job. They're hoping somebody takes the debt away. They're more worried about the rights of people. Are you going to take away choice? Are you going to hurt the LGBT community? Are you going to take us back to Jim Crow laws? Those are the things that people are worried about. This is what it is. The truth is, though, as you get a little bit older and those bills come due, you know, again, when you're young and you're not liberal, you don't have a heart. When you're older and you're not somewhat conservative, you don't have a brain. And I think somewhere in the middle is having both, which is being able to empathize and to understand and to take in different opinions and different viewpoints. And at the same time, it's also being commonsensical enough, if you will, to understand that the way the world really works. I don't know. I've always looked at it this way. If you're winning, things are good. If you get a job for 50 grand, if you get a job for 50 grand, you pay off your debts and you're able to get some, you know, some cheaper health care and things are okay, you know, you may just, you know, not bitch so much. But this is something else I want to say. As I go after millennials, as you know, you listen to the show, I go after the snowflake generation. We lump all the snowflake generation into one group. I've got my little sister's 20 years old. I know her boyfriend. I know a lot of her friends. They're not that snowflake generation. They're tougher than that. They have as much Gen X and baby boomer and greatest generation in them. The truth is, what you're seeing is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of people who are loud and boisterous and take to the streets. That's what you're seeing. We can't lump them all into one. And that's what we do, and that's our bad. I tell you, there's 50,000 people to go to, you know, college A. 45,000 of them could give a rat's ass about what's going on. They want to get their degree. They want to get out of there. They want to find a job. They want to get on with their life. 5,000 of them who scream and yell because nobody else is screaming and yelling because they're too busy going to school, trying to figure out a way how to build a life. They could care less. Those other 5,000, they're going to be loud and people pay attention to them. Put a camera in their face, they're going to scream and yell. We think because we see 25, 30, 50 protesters at a school, they're like, oh my God, everybody's like this. It's not true. It's not. We can't lump every single one of them. Many of you listening right now have kids that are in college. And you know what? Those kids aren't like that. Oh, they may be more empathetic. They may be more liberal. But they're not like that. They're not crying because Hillary didn't win. They're not in the corner losing their mind. They're not apoplectic just screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs because they believe Trump is going to destroy everything. They're not. So we can't lump them all in. But Brian made a great point. What if, and that's what I said last week. What if, let's just take it for a second. What if he gets unemployment down to a real 5 or 6%? That's not the fake 5 or 6%. What if wages grow steadily? What if the economy starts to turn around and we grow at a very brisk pace? What if he figures out a way to merge Obamacare with Trump care and comes up with something that actually controls a bit of cost, does insure people? What if he doesn't mess with choice? What if he doesn't mess with the LGBT community? What if he doesn't do? Because so many people have already jumped in the boat that he's going to do something. We don't know what he's going to do. But that's what happens. The what ifs of the world. And that's where we live right now. What if, what if, what if? It's insane. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Dustin in Indy, what's going on?
Hey, Chad. My question is, Trump's talking about bringing jobs back over here from overseas, okay?
Yeah.
So, and making sure that we do things here in the States. But the only real way to do that is through trade tariffs. So if in fact we do trade tariffs, happens, then we become the Weimar Republic. And so I just don't see how all these conservatives, quote unquote, are so happy about Trump when everything he does or is saying that actually has any substance is a leftist thing. So,
well, here's the thing, Dustin. The trade tariffs, you know, I don't think he's going to start a trade war. I think what he's doing, like anything else, you come at something hard because you know you're going to make it. You're going to have to negotiate. We forget that. The guy likes to negotiate. He thinks that everybody should be at a table negotiating something, and he wants to make things fairer because we've got the short end of the stick in many ways because we've allowed ourselves to be that way because we're the biggest, we're the best, we're willing to give a little bit more. And, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, he's talked about tariffs.
Absolutely.
But I don't think we're going to get the tariffs that everybody thinks we're going to get because it's more of a negotiation point. I don't want us to become the Weimar Republic. No way. But I understand. And you know what? You're right.
Hey, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Okay. So after World War One, we negotiated from a position of power to have England sink so many number of ships so that we became the superpower in the world because we controlled their debt. So what happens when we try to control or try to negotiate from a position of power with China and then China says, hey, we'll just call your debt if you don't do this? We're in the same position that England was in post-World War One, are we not?
Yeah, well, no, we're not. And I'll tell you why. First of all, China knows they can't do this because China has done something that I don't think people have really understood. I appreciate your call, my man. We got to jump. That I don't think people really understand. And I want everybody to understand this. China saw what happened to the Soviet Union. Saw the failure of the Soviet Union. Realize that we can't do that and survive. At some point in time, we're going to implode amongst ourselves. So they decided, you know what? We'll give people freedoms. We'll give them economic freedoms. We'll give them freedoms to move about. We will still crack down on any political dissidents, any kind of thought that we don't like as the communist company. But we're going to give you freedoms, though. And they got a taste of freedoms. And we've allowed them to grow to the point where they've become a superpower economically, which is a brilliant idea because they're tied to us now. Call in your debt. Do what you think you're going to do. Let me tell you something. Tiananmen Square is nothing compared to what could potentially happen if this stuff goes south and it all hits the fan. And all of a sudden, their people no longer have freedoms to move around. All of a sudden, their people no longer have money or food on the table. And they're being cracked down politically. We've allowed them and in many ways helped them paint themselves into a corner. They need us far more than we need them. We forget that. You mess with people's money, you watch what happens. People like their freedoms. They don't get the freedoms they want there. They get the little bit of freedoms they can through the fact that they can earn, through the fact that they can own, through the fact that they can travel, through the fact that they can have their own lives based on actually earning an income to a certain extent. Having a business, becoming billionaires and millionaires, moving around, coming to America, doing those kind of things. Take that away from them. See what happens. They'll look like North Korea within a few years. Except the difference is there's a billion plus of them. They're not going to turn on us. They're going to turn on their own government. We've allowed them to paint themselves into a corner. Now they're stuck. called in the debt. They know they can't, and they know they won't. That's the funny thing. They have literally tied themselves to us. They need us. True. Speaking of need, you need to listen to me now. It is Thanksgiving week. You're probably going to be eating a lot of turkey. Hell, it's the time of the year where, let's be real, we're going to put on 5 or 10 pounds because it's getting cooler outside. We're having office parties. We're eating a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that. We're eating too much and we're not working out more. Well, I want to talk to you about how you can make sure that you get yourself the oomph that you need. A little bit of help here. Super Beats is the way I do that. What is that? Well, Super Beats is this amazing drink that I take. Little bit of it right into water. Drink it up. Gives me a bunch of energy. Gives me a boost that you couldn't believe. Gives me a stamina. What it does is it takes dietary nitrates and converts them in my body to nitric oxide. And it helps with my circulation. Helps with healthy circulation, healthy blood pressure levels. And it works 3 times faster than anything else out there. Thing I love about it is not only does it taste great, but there's none of that down to it. Too many times you drink some of those energy drinks, crash. You do not want that. Right, Phil?
Absolutely. I've stopped drinking coffee because of it, and I don't get jittery, and I don't get a crash. It tastes good. I put it in water. I think it tastes great, and it makes me feel wonderful.
Wonderful, kids. That's what we want. We want you to be around a long time. Super Beats wants you to be around a long time. Chad wants you to be around a long time. Healthy, healthy, healthy. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats to make sure it's working inside of your body. Plus, you need a book called Beat the Odds. It's absolutely free, and everything comes to you with free shipping. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call 800-561-2677. 800-561-2677. Now, they guarantee this works. Guaranteed. Or your money back. You check out chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Chad, B-E-E-T-S.com. Or call 800-561-2677 and tell him Chad sent ya. Little say, woo! Chad Benson Show.
Your mama.
That's right. I said your mama.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what? Mama. Say what? Say what?
That's right. I said your mama.
Phil, you're a foodie. Producer
I am.
Phil is. He likes eating food.
And it shows.
Would you try this? All right. It is, okay. It is called koipu. It's from the southern part of Russia. It is the hottest thing in Russia right now selling. It is river rat.
I don't know. I'd try it, I guess.
It is river rat, and apparently it is hitting not just like fast food places, hitting the big Moscow restaurants. And for those of you who don't know anything about Moscow, Moscow is the – it's not New York. It's not San Francisco. It's not Los Angeles. It's not London. Moscow is the most expensive place on earth. It's extremely expensive. And that's what they're serving. They're serving this, what they call the furry whiskered beast that's kind of orange looking. Apparently eating rodents is not something that is looked down upon over there. Did you see the movie Demolition Man?
I did not.
Okay. At one point they eat, you know, they're down below in the sewer and there's like a whole like world down there and they're eating. He's eating something. He's been asleep for like 50 years, old Sylvester Stallone. And they're like, what is it? He's like, it's a rat burger. And he goes, you don't see any cows down here. Kind of what it is. It really looks like a giant chipmunk. But it is actually rodent. Ugh. And they're showing, it's just, they're showing pieces of it. The Nutria hot dog. I don't think I'd do that. I'm going to pass on that. Does cursing make your company better? Can swearing be good for your bottom line? Yes, actually, according to a new study. Swearing isn't that bad. And in fact, managers, even of the highest level, CEOs, tend to use the F word and the S word quite a lot. Guess what? Their actual companies have outperformed the S&P over the past decade. Now, it doesn't always go that way. But the truth is, by and large, and again, swearing is one of those things where people always think if you swear, oh, it's very uncouth, very not mature. But then when you look and you find out that people that tend to have a potty mouth and tend to know where to actually use those words, tend to have higher IQs, and they tend to get S done.
Oh, geez, Chad. Not very nice.
I watch my language as much as I can around, like, you know, Jack, obviously, and young kids, but every once in a while it slips out. But do you think to yourself, like, when's the first time, when you were a kid, I didn't, you know, my dad sweared, but, you know, it's like, I heard everything on the playground, because that's what you do, right? You get out there and you throw words around, you don't know what half of them mean. Maybe you just look at your mom and dad and say, look, mom and dad, I am just preparing for a life of big time CEO-ness. Dropping the F-bomb helps me with that. Remember that next time you're in your office and you try to drop one and say, look, I'm just trying to help the productivity of our company. Say, what? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chadbensonshow.com. Love it when you text the show as well, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And we have a phone line, too, that apparently Phil's answered today, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.